Quoting the 2012 movie, "Blue is not so pink." How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
Quote of the day: if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people, we despise, we don't believe in it at all. Noam Chomsky, philosopher, political scientist, and activist.
Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
This is the soundtrack. The soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive. Let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time. Your story's in the sound tonight. I hear you. Every word you say. Your voice shines. To share, I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Okay, so before we delve into your story, I would like to, we'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what your role, what is the role you play at the university.
Okay, so, well, I'll start with my name. My name is Irem. I am doing my PhD here at Laurier in Religion, Culture, and Global Studies Department and Religion Studies. And I have been in Laurier like a year and a half now. Mm. Yeah.
That's really good. Well, choose what we'll call you in this program. It can be your name or an alias, the name of an animal, an object, or a force of nature. Whatever you feel represents you at this moment.
I think I'll go with my name because I'm proud and I like it.
Perfect. So for all our listeners, this is the voice of Irem.
Okay.
Welcome to the soundtrack, Irem. We always start our podcast with the question of our previous interviewee. So our previous interviewee's nickname was the Egyptian magician. And this is his question.
Okay.
It's probably a compound question. How do you use your background and cultural knowledge to confront other religions you have never experienced? And what is your way to learn something new? And how do you accommodate it to become a better person?
Wow. So I think I try to look for common points. So if something is very new to me, if I'm meeting someone is that coming from a background that I've never known, or it's like very unfamiliar to me, I ask, I try to learn, but also I I try to find the common points so we can kind of like a click the moments, right? Because the more you know that you are a commonality, the more you want to hang out or the more you want to know the other person, because you want to find like, look us, like how far we came from and how we met in this point. Like, yeah, I think this is my perspective.
It's a very empathetic thing. I like that.
Roots and origins.
So to start, tell us what your family roots are.
Okay.
And where did you grow up?
So, coming to my family roots, that's a bit mixed. It's a long story.
Love that.
Yeah. So, my family roots are... So, I was born in Turkey, in a city where we call Black Sea. And however, this is my paternal side, but my maternal side comes from Asian part of Turkey. But when it comes to my family roots, actually I am like from my father's side, I am Turkish, Russian, Georgian. And from my mom's side, I am again Turkish, Greek and Circassian. And many people don't know, but my surname also comes from a family root, which is from Ottoman family. Once upon a time, they were in the empire and they were emperors, not directly from the Sultan's family, but related to that.
Absolutely.
And where I grew up. So I grew up until age of 10 in the city that I was born. But because of my parents' duty or work, we traveled a lot across in Turkey. So after age of 11, we moved to closer to my mom's city. But then for high school, actually, in our educational system, if you're going to go to high school, so you have to take a national exam and then you have your like orders and... Sorry, not orders. Like you take some, like you got some grades and then you are allowed to choose a school and then, you know, the national system appoints you to that school if you are qualified. So I want to always to study in Ankara, which is capital of Turkey. I don't know why. Don't ask me. I don't know what I was thinking back then. But I really wanted to study there. So after taking the exam for the high school, I got accepted to one of the best high schools in Turkey, Ankara. So I studied there. So I studied in boarding school in the dormitory. So for 4 years, that was in, we call Anatolian Teacher High School. It doesn't exist anymore, but back then it existed. So I studied like regularly in high school, but I also studied an additional 5 hours for pedagogy to be able to teach. I think my teaching is part coming from this.
You basically shape your skills, your teaching skills.
I think so. Like, and that was a great experience for me because, you know, you are age of 14 and you don't know what's going to happen and you are living together in a room. Like, I was okay. Like, my room was consist of like 4 people, but we had our own like washroom, etc. You know, it was like a nice dorm room, let's say. But it was a good experience that I've learned many things when I was there. Maybe I wasn't, if I would stay, I would have stayed with my family. Maybe I couldn't gain those skills. Yeah.
And it seems like it was your own decision.
Yes. It was my own decision and it wasn't easy because my family actually, well, they always supported me, but they were also hesitant for me to go because it's such a young age. You're a girl. And I was a bit like internal and still like introvert, sorry, and shy. But, you know, I said that, okay, I'm going to take that risk.
But convinced, I guess.
Yes, I convinced them. It took me a while, but I convinced them.
I can't imagine how many times you missed home when you were in Ankara.
It's true. Like there were times that I really missed my home. I really wanted my family be with me. But also, I didn't want to tell this to my parents because that was the decision I made it. So I had to stand by with my decisions. Yeah. Like because the city that I was living before going to Ankara, and to Ankara, the distance was like 12 hours by car, something like that. Yeah.
Far away from home.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about home. Home means different things to different people. What is the meaning of home to you? Is it a place, a feeling, or a specific people? Or something else?
I think home is a bit mixed. Like, you know, it's a place that is important for you, but also it's a place where you find your loved ones. So it's both. I think for me, the description home has changed a lot throughout the years. First, it was the town, the city that I was born. And then it became Ankara for me because after high school, I've also studied there for my undergraduate studies. And then I moved to Italy. So Italy has become my home. I think I still feel that Italy is still my home.
Absolutely.
Because the culture, the people. Now I can also call Canada as my home. So again, you know, it changed because, you know, there are people that I love here. I learned a lot. The countries or people gave me the opportunity to discover and explore. Mm-hmm. That is why, like, I, in a nutshell, I would say both the place and the people.
And it represents different times in your life, right? Like home when you were a child, home when you were a teenager,
yeah,
growing up.
That's true.
And by the time you were living at the city you were born, there is like a specific type of sound that reminds you hometown. Like, what would it be like? Try to bring us there, our imagination.
It would be the sound of waves, because it's a seaside. It's a coast.
Oh.
Part of the city is my home. Like, the city I was born, like my hometown, but I always say that I have two hometowns. One is from my mom's side, the other side from my father's side, and both of them are coastlines. I think I would say that the sound of waves, because I remember that I'm sitting on the rocks, and I'm like listening it and just like relaxing.
And for people like me who's very bad in geography, what type of or which sea or ocean are we speaking about?
Okay, so the city I was born is Black Sea, and the other one is Aegean Sea, Aegean Aegea, recall. It's the Aegea actually combines later on, like merges with Mediterranean Sea.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
But it's not only sounds that connect us home, right? Sometimes the food is also an invisible thread that connects us to home. Is there a flavor or a dish that means more than you that just food? What memories do you hold in this type of flavor?
You know, I have been thinking about that because I love food. So
do I. Doesn't? Who doesn't?
Right? And the food actually is a great thing to also get to know other cultures and backgrounds. It's something that you immediately, you know,
yep,
kind of click with someone. So for me, there are like a few of dishes that I really like, and it's very traditional. I think, but I'm going to go with cornbread.
Oh, that sounds so delicious.
Yeah.
So delicious. But childhood memories, I guess.
Childhood and early connections.
And regarding to childhood, which one, no matter how simple it might seem to you, is a one that you hold dear, and why? Which memory do you hold? Like, this is a very, very lovely one for me.
Wow, I have a... I'm going to go with the one that my parents and I when we went to, I have good mountains as well. So when we there just to stay and relax, I think that holds me because it's like, you know, the place is like, when you look out, you see the sea as blue, but you're also inside of the forest. So you see the green together. I think that's the moment that, you know, like you feel the peace and then you're like family together, like spending time. And I have a small family. It's just like my mom and my dad and I. So that's, I think that's the most. And the other thing is, I think it's just like spending time with my maybe cousins, going some bazaar, because I come, actually the city I was born in was kind of like a multicultural city. So we used to go a lot Russian bazaar. So that those like the people screams, not like a scream, but like when they are trying to sell something to you,
yep,
or speaking different languages, like I haven't heard it before, right? And then you get used to it and you kind of, you know, gather things. And I see like those nice, lovely toys. I remember I still have them because they were like a good memories. And you cannot find them anymore because they were from former Soviet Union time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these came to my mind.
Yeah, when you're a child, you value physical things. But when you grow up, you start realizing that there were some values and some principles that you learned when you were a child. So which value or principle stands out for you? Like, and from who or how did you learn specific about this principle of value that you highlight the most?
I learned a lot and I'm trying to apply this my daily life too. Being fair and being thoughtful and being respectful. Like both my parents were always saying that, yes, you are, you know, important to us, valuable to us, but when you go into society or in a community, you have to behave because you might be no one to them, right? And then we are trying to create a space for each of us that we can hear our voices. So you have to behave, you have to respect, and you have to listen. And the other thing is, do not go extreme. That was my teacher's quote to me, that because when you go to extreme, you're going to miss the main point. So I'm trying not to go extreme, even though I want to go sometimes.
Of course.
Yeah, I think these are like being respectful. That's important. And listen always. Be listener, then speaker, let's say. And the other one is, yeah, do not go to extreme.
Mm-hmm. It came from elder people and parents or family members, but at that time of your life, there were additional people like you share with, like friends, or you mentioned earlier about cousins or everything. You have any special close person at that time? Could be a friend, could be a cousin. Sometimes your parents are the only friends you have. So this type of person, what do you remember about that person when you were at that age?
Okay, so here's the thing, like here's the good and bad thing about my childhood, I guess, or my teenage time. It's, my cousin, like, because I'm a single child, so I always wanted to have a sister or brother, like elder sister or elder brother. So my cousin was there for me, that we were sharing. But the other thing is that with my family, because of their jobs, again, as I told you before, like we traveled a lot. So like any place I go, like I made friends, like we enjoy, but then we had to leave. So like,
I got your point.
You know, like I have many friends, but that is why I cannot say like a single person, but I can like tell. But mostly I think what I learned or what I experienced is during my high school time, because it was that you are yourself alone, you are trying to figure yourself out, but also you are with your own peers that you can, I think that time it was my roommates.
Mm-hmm. And at that time you think that high school is the so fast-paced and so stressful, but then you come to college or you come to university and realize that this is the nature of a college life.
passions and personal energy.
When you were doing, or even now, when you are like, when you need to relax a little bit, how do you have a personal retreat, or what do you do when you need to get a little bit relaxed?
What I do, I listen to music that really makes me relax. And the other thing, I'll tell my friends, okay, we are going to walk out somewhere or a place that we've never been. And then we'll just like get lost and let the city guides you. Like it could be even the city we are leaving, but just to explore a different part that we've never been. I think that's my motivation or my kind of like relaxation.
Is there any time like when you need just to be by your own?
Yeah, sometimes I do. But again, I think I am a more person that like I value myself and my time, but I also value time spending with my friends or other people, because this is for me kind of like a learning opportunity, feeling better, more interactions. But again, when I want to listen to music and walk, that is my me time. Like my me time is definitely I have to have a music and I have to walk, because walk really helps you clear your mind.
Does music and walking disconnect you completely from everything else?
Yeah, because then I'm like thinking, I have my own thoughts that I'm like thinking and imagining and going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird because people think that sad moments are only when you feel nostalgia. But on the other hand, when you recall, you had moments of joy and moments of nostalgia, which everybody lives, is what brings you out to recall or remind us who we are. So doesn't matter how small you think it is. Could you share with us a simple pleasure, something that never fails to bring you a smile in your face?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, things actually. I think seeing my my family and my friends like around me and like, you know, sharing moments. Or I think my cats.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in plural?
Yeah, I have two cats.
Okay.
Yeah, they are, because like you see how like they look at you and then they do those like movements, and then that makes me smile a lot too. Yeah.
And we are human beings. We not only have joy and nostalgia or everything, but we also have fears. If you feel comfortable, do you have any fear that you would like to share with us, and how have you learned to live with this type of fear?
Yeah, I have, as like everyone, I have fears. I think two things, like the first one probably would be losing like my loved ones, especially my parents, you know, that would be really harsh. And I had hard times after my mom was diagnosed with the cancer. I think that time I felt that fear. Mm. But now we are good, thankfully. And the second one, I guess, being I wouldn't say like not successful, but what I'm doing bad, feeling that or seeing that till this moment, like whatever I've done was wrong. That was my fear, like not to be fair, and also whatever I've done, like failure, I guess, like overall, like failure in my career, my studies, that will be my second biggest fear.
The university experience.
Sometimes it feels like we are unfair with ourselves, right? Because listening to your story, coming from Turkey, through Italy, and now in Canada, I hope it gave you a lot of chances to learn more about multiculturalism and pluriculturalism. And now that you came to Wilfrid Laurier, which is precisely a mosaic of cultures, In your opinion, how has encountering so many different life experiences here enriched your life in any way, or enriches our own history?
Well, before coming to Laurier or Canada, I've been, as you said, and I've been in different countries as well, like not only Italy, but like Belgium, Netherlands, Hungary, like lived, worked, etc., Macedonia. But I think the biggest difference for me was that there I was always with, we shared some sort of a similar culture or similar patterns that we have experienced, right? Like I could find maybe more common points with even like a German or Dutch person than when I came here with different people. But when I moved to Canada, I realized that there are like, I think there we were in like a small European bubble. And then in Canada, it was more literally international bubble that you see it. So when I came here, I met with different people. They had different backgrounds. I've seen that. I was telling myself that I'm a mix, but I've seen many people like more like all around, right? And it was interesting, but also I was like, wow, you know? And I've learned a lot here. Also, I learned how not to look at the European perspective, but look at more like international perspective. So I kind of try to educate myself as well, and then look at the people, understand their inner background, and maybe learn more. Also, how do we reflect, right? Like, to the other side of the world after seeing and living together. I think I broke many of my taboos as well here. Yeah, that is what Laurier or Canada taught me.
Mm-hmm. Well, or maybe the at least eight countries where you have lived, and I guess you have shared with people from different cultures, religions, way of thinking. And when you, as you mentioned earlier, you're a good listener and you try not to be extreme or being judgy. Most of the time you learn things from people, but sometimes at the same way, you rediscovered or realize or reinforces things that belongs to your own culture or your own person. And you say, or you realize like, I didn't know I was so proud about this. It has happened to you that you rediscovered something from your own culture that you saw in others in their own way?
Yeah, I think it was I think because in my where I come from right now, due to political reasons, you are kind of taught to be shameful that you are Turkish. Like, especially lately what's been going on. And of course, all the, you know, political issues and conflicts kind of push you. But where I came here, that was something that I am proud of. Like, I'm proud of like everything, not only being Turkish, but others. But also I wanted to show that, hey, this is the stereotype you have been told, but this is how we act also. This is how we are. Like, I wanted to also show our other side, because many people here, when you say that my country is like, I've seen a lot of like negative impressions and many accusations, but okay, these are political sides of it. But what about the culture? What about the people? What about what we share here, right? So this was something that I rediscovered. I'm not a nationalist person, but also I respect and I want to show other people that, hey, you know, nothing is like, not everything is bad in this culture, but there is something else that you have to look at it. And then I want to share that because I have a Caucasian roots, that when you say Caucasian, people misunderstand you. But I want that, you know, should be belong back to us, that who come from Caucasus, because there are many ethnicities there, that they are not represented here. that I want to represent them. Maybe I will not be the only one, but I want to show whatever I've learned or whatever experience and show around. This is what I've discovered. Yeah, I have to say that I want to share my intro. Like, I want to learn from you, but I want to also share what we have. And maybe we will find something common that, you know, express to others.
Yeah, and you have been here for plus 8 years at the university. And I guess you have shared with people from different backgrounds and you have experienced different things over here. Is there any experience or a moment that you lived in that moment made you see things in a different way, or something that you think it transformed you in any way?
I think the perceptions here kind of, I don't know if it would be negative or positive, but what I wouldn't say like a transitioning, but I would say that's something that I saw, and I saw it's very limited, especially when it comes to the multicultural, we call, right? But also our multicultural understanding, even in Laurier or even in Canada, it's very limited. Like, I honestly don't like to be called based on race or colors on people, because it could be some, like, people will call you white, but am I really white? You know, like, what is that? And then we have different, like, then they put you in a box and then you cannot express yourself anymore because you are already labeled. I don't like this. That kind of causes marginalization. I prefer that, you know, people tell their background rather than their color, because color does not say anything, but your background, your culture, your language says something. Yeah. This is what I try to say, and this is also right now why I am like working as a teaching assistant. And this is also what I'm trying to tell who come to tutorials, like, do not think their box or the way that they directed you, like, think differently, like trying to look at from different perspectives and see. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it answers to your question.
No, it's perfect answer, especially when you find terms or definitions like race, which is an artificial definition because biologically a race doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Different than human being.
Exactly.
The song of your life.
So, talking about human being, we are getting to the heart of the program. And you have chosen a song that defines your life at this very moment. Before you say that name, can you tell us what moment or feeling or idea this piece of music captures for you?
Because my background is political science, I always go with the politics, or somehow reminded. I think even now, or even before, the song The Sound of Silence, the Simon and Garfunkel, sorry for my pronunciation, I think that is something that always, oh my gosh, like, that was a song that first I listened from my father, and then he was explaining what he felt, and then I've been through some things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what the song says, kind of like I can resonate. And still, I can resonate with different things. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, that's the song. I think it will live forever in me.
Well, let me tell you something. And this is something that not everybody knows, but Faculty of Arts has about 5,000 students, which means that 20% of the whole amount of students at university. And probably this is the main audience we are going to have in this podcast. Well, this piece of music that you chose, which until now might have been a personal treasure, will no longer be played only for you. From now on, it will have an audience that, upon hearing it, will celebrate with you this exact moment in your life. So it will be a reminder for all of us about your story. So imagine that this song is like a soundtrack to a chapter in your life. How or what would you title this chapter?
Wow, that was the hardest question for me. The most difficult one. Oh, the title. Okay. I think, wow. Now I'm speechless. Sorry.
Well, it's sometimes it's hard to speak about ourselves, but we are not here to make anyone arrogant or nothing. This is a free space and a safe space for you to tell us about yourself, whatever you want.
So I would say this, the song, yes. And that is great because this song is old, but it is good to see that we still carry on this song. And I'm hoping that also the other generations who are younger than me will like and then carry on. And the title of this chapter, I really like the tree of life tree, or I don't know how you call it. I would say this as this title of this chapter, because we somehow, right, like this is our root.
Yep.
And we grow and then we learn and we change with time.
Like trees.
Exactly.
I look to the future.
And you continue growing and you know, you don't know what is going to happen in the future. But you have been building your future for at least 8 years. But let's think about the future. What message or value will you most like to project and leave as a legacy in our community?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
And try not to be politically correct. Just be yourself.
Yeah, of course. You know, like we all have stereotypes. Like I myself too. But I try not to bring forward that stereotypes when I look at things like people, etc. I think we try to understand in both sides or whomever we are talking, even the ideas. We might not like it, but still give your ear and try to listen it. Maybe you'll find something and you'll try to resonate. Like there are things that going on and that makes also people polarized. And that's something that we need, because as a community, if you are strong, you can make your voice heard. If not, you know, you'll just lose your voice. And you'll use also your identity or whatever like you are trying to bring forward. And always fight. Like that's important. Because yes, true, in theory we are not decision makers, but we can force the decision makers to change those decisions. Mm-hmm. Like this is important part. It's a bit socialist perspective, but I think it's how I grow up.
No, that's what a wise person says. Thank you very much for that. So when people think, let's keep ourselves in the future. When people think of you many years from now, what would you like them to remember about you? What type of mark would you like to leave in their hearts or on those who you know?
Like, I want them remember me that I wasn't only like I'm trying to be a good person. That's kind of like a really subjective. But I remember that someone who worked for the community and for the people. And also like travel, like, you know, with whatever I want to bring, like travel, find, explore, discover, and then question yourself. Like, even though you're going to reach the same answer, try to find by yourself, not by others, like say to you, I don't know.
The chain question and the gift.
Well, Rem, it's been an honor to hear one of the songs of the soundtrack of your life, right? And to close this circle and connect your story with the one that is coming next week, And I know you, I hope you are better prepared to answer this question, is what type of questions would you like to ask the next guest to get a glimpse into their life?
Okay. That has been another difficult question.
I know.
Question for the next guest would be, I would ask this. Yeah. Okay. That's the thing. That's an important thing for my life because I really like traveling. Have they ever traveled out of, I don't know where they come from, and the first travel, what they felt, and then how that travel has changed their perspective, if any, I mean. Because those travels kind of, change our minds and everything.
Yeah, it transforms you.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, we are basically done, but I have a small gift for you.
Okay.
It carries a message. And the message says, thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing your essence with us. And this is a tangible reminder of this day. I hope it brightens your days. And a small message is,
wow,
saying just thanks.
Thank you so much. Can I?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my part.
All right.
What it says is basically, thank you in so many languages. And I'm crossing my fingers that it's in Turkish as well. But if not, please teach me how to say it and I'll put it in my next messages.
Okay, thank you. Well, I've recognized some of them. Dziękuję, dispasiba, evharisto, sorry, thank you, merci, gracias, of course, obrigado. Well, that's amazing. I'm going to put in my fridge.
Wow.
In my microwave. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And good luck. And I'm going to be listening your other interviews as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success, and also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. I hear you clear. Every beat, every voice in here. Turn it up, let the every turn, every fire, every burn. I'm here for the highs and the lows, in the rhythm and